Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 98, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Christy Ellington of LaunchLadies.com. Christy knows everything about working with brands and sponsored posts. I know you're going to learn a lot from Christy today, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Christy Ellington. Christy teaches women bloggers how to make more money through sponsored content on her website, Launch Ladies. For the past 2 years, she has also worked for Pop Sugar as her brand content specialist. Christy lives in San Francisco with her husband and 17-month-old son, Fisher. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Christy, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and what you do in business?
Sure. So I'm actually a California native. I grew up just north of San Francisco in Napa, which is a great place to retire, challenging place to grow up since there's not much else to do except drink wine. And currently, you know, my husband and I love our weekends with my son and our dog. I actually have a 7-year-old French bulldog as well. His name's Samson. And we just love to get outdoors. It's really great weather here in Northern California. So being outside, going to parks, enjoying our time together is definitely a priority for us. And in business, I've been a professional blogger for about the past 8 years. In the last handful of years, I'd say 2 or 3, I've been working directly with brands on content, growing their social media programs, growing their content programs, and then building those programs for them on behalf of Pop Sugar as well. So it's really all about, my life is all about content, creating content, and yeah, learning what makes people share, what makes people engage, react to certain things. So it's really an interesting place to be, especially with the growth of blogging as a whole over the past, you know, handful of years.
Definitely. So let's talk a little bit more about being a brand content specialist, because one, I think that's the first time I've heard that particular term before. And then, you know, what all that involves in terms of your work at Pop Sugar.
Sure. So on a basic level, you could say that I work really closely with brands that come to Pop Sugar for advertising space. So rather than, we still do sell, you know, banner ads and things like that, but my role is to sort of mesh the content side with the advertising side. So we basically, it's called native advertising in the general sense in sort of that industry. So native advertising really is all about creating content for a brand, their campaign. It could be a message, it could be a product, it could be a sale. So my job is to blend those two things together and create the content that people actually want to share. Like, no one's going to share an advertorial or a banner ad, but people do share content when it's, you know, in the form of a native advertisement, or we call it sort of in the blogging sphere, a sponsored post.
So your goal is to kind of make it be more natural, where the brands want to advertise, but you're helping them do it on the website in a natural way that people will actually care about.
Exactly. Yeah. And okay. Yeah, making a sponsored post valuable is my number one goal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Valuable
to the reader.
To the reader. Yeah. Okay. What about valuable to the brand?
Valuable to the brands, of course, but I think that the whole point of a sponsored post or a native ad is really to engage the reader. So your number one goal should really be to create the best content possible that will get the reader to share or engage or comment or react in some way. So the brand, I think the brands these days are definitely more on the level of they need to know that they need to put the content first and their sort of brand message and integration second. But it's still, you know, obviously 1-2 punch. It's like the top two things you need to do for a sponsored post. But if no one's reading the content, then their message won't get across. So value to the reader is the most important thing for me and my team, for us. Yeah.
So sponsor posts, I know, can be a really great way for bloggers of all sizes to earn some money. What are some simple strategies that a blogger could use to make more money from sponsor posts?
I would say that from, you know, the blogger reader side, of things, I think the most important thing is to create content that's valuable, obviously, like I just mentioned, and something that's helpful to your audience and have a clear point of view on what you want the readers to get out of your posts. So rather than thinking of your post as a journal, maybe you think of it how you would want to market your post out to others. What's the hook? And it's those hooks that are going to attract brands. Once they see that your posts and your content is more marketable, that's when they start to come into view. From a brand side, I think the most important thing is to present your blog in a professional way. So I talk a lot about on Launch Ladies is thinking of your blog as a business. So this could be anything from changing up your mindset to really start to think of, you know, this isn't just a daily post. This is actually, you know, money-making potential every time I post something to the internet. And then investing money in design is really important because you want to put that professional sort of outfit out into the world. And really letting your metrics tell a story about who your audience is. And I think that that's, you know, another important thing that bloggers may, you know, have a challenge with is that they don't think that they get enough visitors or readers to prove that they're valuable enough to accept sponsored posts. But not everyone needs to have 100,000 visitors a month to get brands to care about them and wanting to sponsor content through them.
Yeah, I saw you discuss this on your blog about how the metrics for that brands are looking for sponsored posts is changing. So what are they really looking for these days? Instead of page views, what are they caring about more these days?
So there are so many different ways that people get content. It's not necessarily all about visitors to your page or page views to your website. Because of social media and RSS feeds, there's, you know, a million different ways for people to get that content delivered to them instead of going to your site. So what's trending now is like the metrics that people are calling engagement metrics or attention metrics. So these are things like how many shares is a post getting? How many comments is a post getting? How much time are people spending on your post page? So this has a lot to do with, you know, when visitors come in, making sure the bounce rate is low, but that your time on page is high. That just means that your readers are actually spending time and engaging with your content. And those are more important to brands because as they sort of start to integrate into your content, that just means that your readers are getting more of that integration and they're actually digesting the messages that you've included into those posts, which is very valuable to a brand. I hope that made sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because okay. I think you're exactly right. I mean, there could be a blog with huge traffic numbers, but if their readers are just like popping over, look at the post 2 seconds and they're gone, well, that might not be helpful.
Exactly.
To a brand the same way, yeah, like a smaller audience who's actually engaged and who resonates with that message and with that content, with that product or whatever it is. I mean, it's kind of amazing when you get that product market fit, how effective it can be even on a small scale.
Totally. And I'm like, I have this one quote that I like to say a lot is 100 passionate readers is so much more valuable than 10,000 passive readers, because those 100 people who are actually coming into your blog and they're reading and they're commenting and they're sharing and they're just like word of mouth advertising for you and your blog and in a sense also the brand, that's so much more valuable than 10,000 people that come in and like you said, just pop over and then pop off.
So I know we've talked a little bit about providing that value to the readers and how that needs to be the primary focus. Do you have any more tips for how you can create a sponsored post that really flows with a blog instead of sticking out like a sore thumb, instead of feeling like it's a blog that simply is selling something all the time? And I also wonder in that vein, do you have maybe some specific examples of sponsored posts that you've seen, you know, in your work that have done really well because of how natural they are and the message that they've shared?
Sure. Yeah, this is definitely a challenge that all bloggers will face because every brand is different in how they want to be integrated and mentioned inside a post. It's probably the toughest challenge that we have in, you know, before we actually sell through a campaign, even to afterwards, is making sure that post was organic and authentic, but still integrates, you know, the brand as genuinely as you can. So I think the real key is to just really get creative and think outside of the product review box. I don't know how many of your readers are still doing, you know, product reviews, but I think that is definitely going away. I think it's more integrated, more natural is what brands are actually leaning towards these days because of that whole engagement and attention metric trend going up as well. So making it subtle but significant is probably the key, and that it really just depends on what the brand's objectives are on how you communicate that. So let's say, for example, you're a fashion blogger and Nordstrom approaches you to talk about their fall sale, and their goal is to get a lot of links back to their website. So rather than just saying, you know, I love Nordstrom and here's a link to an awesome sale, you could go the extra mile and ask if you can get a few items on loan to use in, for example, like a fashion tutorial that teaches women how to style a flannel in 5 different ways or something like that. And then toss in some links back to the landing page, and that creates a very organic and simple way for you to hit their objective, which was to get links back to their website. But it also teaches your reader something about, you know, the fall fashion, like how to style this flannel. So it's a personal touch without being salesy. But that example actually can translate to different styles of bloggers. So like if we use the same example, Nordstrom sale, for mom bloggers, for example, instead of a fashion styling post, maybe it's how to teach your kids shopping etiquette when you're going into a busy holiday shopping season or something like that. So rather than links back to the product, you're actually saying that you're excited about the Nordstrom sale and here's how to keep your kids in check when you take them into a busy store. And you know, the key there is to actually make sure that you are excited for the sale and that you've actually talked about Nordstrom or shopping on your website previously, because that's the part that's going to make it stick out like a sore thumb, is if you haven't talked about Nordstrom before or shopping before, and then all of a sudden you throw this in there. So I guess it all leads back up to actually working with brands that you love and that you've talked about before on your blog.
Those were good examples, but you're right. I can see if you focus on brands you already know and love, then you know you're going to be able to post something that feels authentic and natural.
Yeah.
Related to that, though, I think a lot of new bloggers especially, they start entering the world of sponsored posts with their new blog, and they just see the dollar signs everywhere and want to do a lot of sponsored posts, because blogging is a lot of work and you want some compensation for all of your time. But is there a number? How much is too much? When do bloggers need to put on the brakes and say, this is way too much sponsored content that I'm doing on my blog, and it's getting a little too salesy?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And I think it's hard to give a specific number, but I think it really just depends on how much are you producing on a daily basis or a weekly basis to begin with. So like if you're posting 5 times a week and you want to start out with 2 to 3 posts a month, I mean, I think that's a pretty fair number to start with. But you can also look at it in a couple of different ways. So take an example. If you're posting 5 times a week and you want to post 1 post a month, you can actually probably increase your rate for that post, because the slots are very scarce. Like you have a very limited number of sponsored posts available in your inventory, so therefore they're more expensive. Or you can try, you know, adding more posts but charging less because they're less scarce. So it's just a couple of ways that you can look at it. But again, it's really hard to say a specific number because everyone posts on a different schedule and they're producing different amounts of content every month. But I would say start out low and then slowly increase and just see where your audience is with you, because what you're ultimately doing is blogging for your audience. So you don't want to go too far and alienate people and have them just sort of get in that mindset that, you know, you're only out to make money from your blog, which, I mean, if you're looking at your blog as a business, yes, you absolutely do need to make money. But at the same time, hopefully you're not doing it off of the backs of those readers.
I definitely get what you're saying. You don't, you know, most of us are, if we're blogging, there's generally the plan to turn it into a business or a side income of some sort. But like you said, it can only become a business because of your readers. I mean,
right.
If you don't have loyal readers or people coming back for your great content, then there's, you know, then you don't have anything. So, it's that balancing act there.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to start low, work my way up, and then you're going to find that threshold that your audience is like, whoa, let's slow it down. You know, they'll start to make more comments. They'll maybe your shares will go down. They're very small signs that you can start to see, and sort of like the canary in the canal or the tunnel or whatever it was. But you know, you'll notice that your audience is definitely like, their ears are perked up. They know that something's going on.
So I would guess that in terms of, you know, connecting with those brands that you know, you love, you use them, that you know, something that could be pretty profitable is having a longer term relationship with a few brands that you just really love and connect with and that your readers seem to love as well. Can you give us any tips on how to create a great long term relationship with a brand?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, as it's a two-way street, you know, a brand is paying you to place their message or their product in your content, and you want to create a really great experience for them as well. So I think being upfront with them in the beginning on what you will and will not do is really important, because it just sets the expectation and everyone can sort of negotiate the terms up front. And that could be anything from how many times you'll mention them in a post to how many social promotions you'll do around the content. So just laying everything out in the beginning so that everybody knows where they stand and you can all agree to move forward together. And then also really taking into account their message or their objectives or their goals when you're creating their content. So, you know, rather than just throwing a random link and mention into the post that has nothing really to do with what they want to surround, actually getting to the nitty-gritty and saying, this is their message. How can I align my content with their message so that they get the best results possible? Because it really is a collaboration when you're at a point where you're trying to build a relationship with them. It should be thought of, you know, as we're working together. So knowing what they want to achieve with that post and then doing your best to help them get there. And then the third thing really is to show them how you've worked really hard towards that and, you know, lay out everything at the end with a wrap-up report that sort of shows how you've helped them get to their objectives and how many people you've sent their way or how many shares they've received or how many additional social promotions you've done for them. Just sort of looking at it like a relationship. I mean, if your you know, boyfriend asks you to do something, then they're, or your husband asks you to, you know, do certain things, and you're probably going to do your best to do them if it's, you know, something you've already agreed to. So really just thinking about it as a two-way street and a collaboration is probably a key mindset to get yourself into when you're starting with the brand sponsorships post.
Do most brands request a wrap-up kind of summary from the blogger, or is that kind of a step you can take to go above and beyond what they've asked?
You know, I think that the wrap-up reports generally come from either the agency or the PR company that you're working with, but I love doing it myself just to add that one sort of final personal touch at the end. And that really gives you a way also to sneak in another message, like, I've been so happy to work with you. Here's my contact information. I'd love to show you a handful of different ways that I'm thinking about we could work together in the future. So actually taking the time to do the wrap-up report, sort of send a little note, and then maybe send a couple of ideas on some bigger projects that you're working on in the next coming season and how you think that you could work with them for those as well. So just like sort of piquing their interest and letting them see, you know, that you are thinking long-term about that relationship.
I like it. That sounds good. It sounds like a great way to pull them back in again for future work.
So do you recommend contacting brands directly as a blogger, or is a network a better way to go?
I think that it really depends on what your time commitment can be. So I think that networks are amazing for those who don't have a lot of time to sort of act as their own PR agent and don't have a lot of time to source, you know, the contact information and send the pitch letters and come up with ideas to pitch the brands, because the networks basically deliver that to you. They sort of send you the messages and ask you if you want to be involved in these, and they have a set price. So you pretty much don't have to do a lot of thinking in the getting of the business. But if you are working in those networks, there's a lot of times where they sort of limit your exposure to the brands you can work with, because everything, all of your income has to come through them. So once you sign with a network, a lot of the times it requires them to act as your advertising agency. So you can't really go out on your own. But I think that, you know, doing it on your own really does have some value, because you can be more flexible. You can negotiate, you can add and subtract things that you need to if you have a post package or a sponsorship package. But it also allows you to continue coming up with different ways to get that revenue. So rather than just saying it's only an Instagram sponsorship, it could be an Instagram sponsorship, but then you come up with a really great idea for a post, and then you can add that on later, which, you know, through a network you may not be able to do. So doing it on your own definitely adds some flexibility to your program.
I didn't realize that if you were part of an ad network that you may not be able to reach out on your own. So, like, if you were part of an ad network and, let's say, a brand not working with them contacted you to do something, would you possibly need to run that past them, or would they still have to get a cut?
Yeah, so that's the other thing. There's a lot of networks that sort of bake it into your contract that everything has to go through them. So just exactly like you said, if I was working with a certain company and let's say Target comes to me outside of that network, I would have to send Target through the network in order to get to me, which it may or may not get back to me. They may decide to like send them to another blogger. So that's the challenge and that's the risk. I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing because they do manage all of the contracts and all of the back and forth and sort of negotiate on your behalf. But it can limit you.
Speaking of contracts, if you are doing this on your own, do you need to have a real formal contract in place with a brand, or do they normally supply that, or can it be informal? How does that work?
I always recommend working with contracts, and usually how it works if you are working on your own is that the brand will supply it. But there are some certain things that you might want to look for in those contracts, and that could be and certain things you might want to add in. And I think that, you know, the number one thing you should remember is that if a brand is approaching you and you guys are talking about working together on posts, everything is negotiable. Don't be afraid to ask for things that you think that you might need, or, you know, things that you want, or certain elements that you want to have added into the contract. Because if it is a partnership and you are working towards a long-term relationship, then you should be able to talk to these brands or their representatives like this would be, you know, a long-term thing. So a couple of things you might want to think about adding in is the number of social promotions that you'll be doing if they are asking you to do that, or a timeline as to when your post will be posted, how many revisions that you'll allow, or how much back and forth are you going to be able to give them? Because I can tell you that a big challenge in working with brands directly is the amount of revisions and back and forth that could come up. I've heard of some bloggers working upwards of 20 rounds of revisions for a single post, which seems like a ton of time to put in. Yeah. And baking in those sort of deadlines, because having those deadlines for both of your sakes is really important to hit the publish date or the due date of this post. And then your price, your cost, and I'm sure that that's going to be in there, but getting paid up front is also very important. And the last thing you want to do is work through all of this and then have the brand say, well, this isn't exactly what we wanted, so we're just not going to pay you for it. So getting paid up front, having that in the contract is definitely very important as well.
So I've heard you talk about the sponsored post package. I have no idea what this is. But I'm guessing, my hunch is that this is relating to what we were just talking about in terms of the kind of the agreement that you're coming up with the brand. Talk about this a little bit more and how it's beneficial to bloggers.
Sure. So I don't know how many bloggers are doing this, but I have seen it a few times where, and we offer it, you know, in certain forms. Different publishers will offer this in different forms, but I love the idea of just sort of taking control and taking all of the guesswork out of working with you. So if I was a brand and I was coming to a blogger I wasn't really familiar with, and I just sort of saw that they offered sponsored posts but don't exactly know what they're offering, I may pass them by and just keep looking. But if I land on a page and it says, I do sponsored posts and I want to work with you, and they have a package and it just tells you everything that you need to know about what's included in that package and a price, it's going to take so much guesswork from the brand that, you know, they'll already know what to expect from you. So like one of the package ideas, what I'm talking about essentially, is putting together, maybe it's not just one post, but maybe it's a post and three social media posts, and then maybe a traffic guarantee that so that you know that, you know, you're going to work hard to get this post to where it needs to be. And then you can just scale those up and down. So like, let's say you have three different levels of sponsored posts. One is one with a sponsored post, three social media posts, and then the next level up, maybe it's those two things, plus you include a link in your newsletter, and then, you know, step up from that. Maybe you do all of the above, plus a Twitter party, the email newsletter, maybe it's a Google Plus Hangout. Maybe it's original photography, maybe it's more, you know, social posts. So it's just like packaging up different things so that you can present it in a very professional, very, transparent way. And then you can add different price levels onto there, and then you can scale up and down depending on what the budgets are for the brand.
I really like that. So it's like a kind of like an advertising packet that we've gotten from other places that we've considered advertising on. Our Etsy shop is what I'm thinking about. And so they sent us a nice little package. These are the sizes. This is the cost. And this is what we'll do for you if you do this package. So it's taking that kind of ad package idea and framing it around sponsored posts for brands.
Yes. And you're basically creating your own advertising agency within yourself when you do this. But I think it just makes it more fun. It makes it more interesting, and it allows the brand to see that you are a professional and this is a business and you're taking this very seriously.
Yes, I could see how that would be very impressive to a brand who saw that you have all of this worked out. They're probably going to trust that you're going to really take the sponsored post very seriously then if you've put this much upfront work into the package. So one thing I also saw on your blog, you were talking about, like, in a package, some people do put, I guess, the brand in like a banner ad on their website, but you had a kind of a discussion on your blog about maybe why you're not a fan of the banner ad. Could you talk about that
Sure.
a little bit?
I think that banner ads are basically dying the same way that page views are sort of on their way out. For a couple of reasons, and I can send you some links to include in the show notes, but it's pretty much been proven that banner blindness is a thing. People just don't look at sidebar or banner ads anymore, and they've sort of, the behavior is that they've trained themselves not to look there because they know that it's just an ad. The second reason is because of mobile traffic. So when you look at a site in mobile, the ads are basically so small, or if you're website is mobile optimized, they're probably not even there at all. So those two things coupled together just really makes for a situation where banner ads and sidebar ads are just not valuable anymore. And I think that overall, they're just sort of a distraction. And I think there's a lot more value to you as a blogger, especially if, you know, you're running an Etsy shop or, you know, you have your own courses or digital products, is to use that space to promote your own work, whether it's linking back to old, you know, other blog posts, or, you know, putting your Etsy shop there, or using your Pinterest widget in your sidebar, something else that sort of like keeps them in your ecosystem. And while it's not, you know, necessarily paying you, it's something that if people are looking there, they're going to get used to seeing you instead of someone else and clicking out from your site. So I think that banners are just not something that I include, or I would recommend including into a package, because I just think that they're going to be useless in the future.
I think that is an interesting perspective. I think you're right that more and more people are getting trained to just not even look over there if they know it's just going to be an ad. And it seems like what's picking up more is kind of that the sponsored post packages that you're talking about, where, okay, it's a blog post that's like amazing content, but it's also like a post on Instagram, or let me pin something on Pinterest, let me post on Facebook about you. And those are like the ways you can share about a brand that do seem to still get some interaction from people.
Yeah, and since the metrics that matter to brands these days is engagement and shares, those are definitely more valuable to you, also to build your audience, but also to them, because they know that, you know, you're actually promoting your content to your audience in other ways rather than just posting it on your site.
I'm curious, in terms of sponsored posts, this process seems really tricky to me. How does a blogger even begin to determine what they should be charging for a sponsored post? And I know we've talked about some of the different metrics that matter, but like, is there a low point where, you know, no matter how small you are as a blogger, maybe like don't charge less than X amount for a post? And then, I mean, I'm sure the high point kind of the sky could potentially be the limit if you were getting millions of views. But I don't know. Can you give maybe a little more clarity, I guess, on charging for your sponsored content?
That's a great question. I think there are a number of different ways that people or bloggers have been coming up with their rates. And I think that's part of the challenge of entering the arena of sponsored posts, is that there's no industry standard. There's no set rules on what to charge and what brands will pay. So that's where things get a little tricky and scary when you're first coming in. I do think that you would be surprised at what brands are willing to pay. And I think that bloggers tend to lowball themselves because they're not as confident when they're first entering into these types of things. And they think that, you know, brands haven't been willing to pay in the past, and they've experienced a lot of review for product exchanges, which are actually not as popular anymore. Brands really do want solid integration into your content stream. So that's what makes these more valuable. Without giving exact numbers, I have worked with some bloggers that, you know, have started around $200 to $400 per post, and they get about 5,000 visitors per month. That could be lower or higher depending on your packages. And that's why I think packages are so important, because you can do less work for more money when you're adding in those different, you know, various types of a la carte items. I do have a free worksheet right now up on launchladies.com that shows you how to calculate your sponsored post prices. And this is just a starter formula. It's a combination of various different methods I've seen around the internet, but also coming at it from an advertising agency perspective. A lot of this is how they also price certain things. So that's a free download, and it's going to be on launchladies.com, and I can give you guys the link if you want to post it.
Yes, we'll make sure we have that link in the show notes for sure, so everyone can come grab that.
This conversation is reminding me of a woman in our Facebook group. This was a couple months ago, and she was saying how a brand contacted her to do a post, and they did not want to pay her. Like, they were trying to convince her to write a post on her blog about their product or their company or whatever, but they absolutely wanted her to do this for free. And hearing from you, Christy, about how serious brands are willing to pay because they know that bloggers carry a lot of influence. And so that's a good reminder for us to hear that we do offer something valuable to those brands, and we should definitely be charging appropriately.
Absolutely. And
for
I think that's the key right there, is that these brands know that your audience is very engaged, and they're reaching out to you for a reason. So they've done their research. They know that your blog talks to the audience that they want to reach. And so them connecting with you and sort of partnering with you is getting them inside of your content, and they're reaching the people they want to reach. So there should be value in that. And I think that the ones that contact bloggers that want to work for free, that's earned media. That's things that certain bloggers write about anyway. But if they have a very specific message that they want to get across, or a very specific product they want to get across, or want to reach your very specific audience, then that actually does have a lot of value to other people and or to those brands. And I think that, like you said, pricing appropriately is definitely important.
I thought you had we've been talking a lot about engagement and keeping visitors on your site, which is just good for the blog in general, but then that's what the brands want to see. And you had a great article about two things that people are missing from their blog posts that are costing them visitors. Could you talk about that?
The reason why social media is so important for bloggers these days is not just as a distribution channel to get your content out to be seen, but it's to be shared. And if you notice, on Facebook especially is a great example, people share the content that makes them feel something. They share the things that make them laugh. They share the things that make them cry. And so the number one thing that your content should include in every single post is emotion. Emotion is the driver for so much successful content. And if you don't have a key emotion that you're trying to convey in a post, you should really just take a step back and say, what is the point of this? What am I trying to make people feel? What do I want people to say when they're sharing it with their friends? That this made them laugh, or this made them cry, or this made them feel like I understood how they felt about something, or how I feel they can relate to me. That's the number one thing. That's what's going to get people to share your content, and that's what's going to make it just grow. And the second thing is action. What do you want people to do with the post? Obviously, you want people to share it, but do you also want them to sign up for your newsletter? Do you want them to download a worksheet? Do you want them to buy something? So just having those two things in mind, and I even write this down before I even start writing a post. I have my headline that inspired me to write this post, and then I have number one, what's the emotion I want people to feel? Number two, what do I want people to do? And knowing those two things, you can really build a solid piece of content that is shared, but also that people love and want to talk about.
That's a great point, Christy. And I think even for us with our kind of more, I don't want to say boring, more straight-laced, like maybe business content, we do try to keep that in mind, though, because it's otherwise, oh my goodness, who wants to read like a blog post, even if it has helpful tips, that's just like so dry and straightforward. So,
yeah.
You know, beyond just giving helpful content, you know, you do want to think about how do you want that person to feel when they're reading? And I think for us, a lot of times it's that, okay, let me take you from your, at the beginning, you're feeling overwhelmed, confused, you know, about whatever this topic is. And at the end, you're going to feel empowered and like, I got this. And occasionally we maybe try to make things like fun and make people laugh, but I don't know.
Make them cry.
I'm trying to think if we've ever shared a business advice like blog post that made someone cry. That would be
well, maybe
that's
in the beginning.
Maybe my accounting topics.
But I think you're right on with that emotional journey, like making sure it's relatable in the beginning and at where they are in their life at that point, and then taking them through and then showing them what it can be like if they follow your advice is brilliant. That's right on.
I do think like that action step, thinking about what you want them to do afterwards, I'm not sure I've heard anyone communicate it quite so clearly before. I think that's a fantastic piece of advice. Where do you want them to read another article that's on your site? Or do you want to direct them to your product? Or do you want them to sign up for the newsletter or get the freebie? Or I think that thinking about that action step, and actually writing that out when you write the post, what do you want that action to be? I could see how that could make a big difference in conversion.
For sure. Like, yeah, I've got this, you know, the free download was, you know, the formula that I came up with to price your sponsored post. So I needed to build a post around that because my one action was to download this worksheet. So everything's sort of built around that.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's so easy as a blogger to just throw up content and have no real direction for what you want it to be doing, for how it's going to help you to grow, for, yeah. So like Sarah said, that action point, that's really important.
I think that's the real difference between a blog that's a hobby and a blog that's a business too, is actually having those actions and knowing what you want your content to do and how, and having goals with growth, because this piece will actually help you grow. And then having those goals in place to get there, that's what's going to help you become, you know, a marketable blog that brands want to connect with, is having those two elements together.
Christy, you have had so much great advice for us about working with brands and doing sponsored content. As we wrap up, do you have a funny or adorable mommy moment that you could share with us?
Oh, there are so many. I swear my kid is just such a clown. But I don't know if this is true for everyone, but my son said dada first. And I was very upset because, you know, he spent 10 months in my womb and I just wanted him to say mama so bad. And one day he and I were here together at home by ourselves. And I kept trying to get him to say mama, mama, mama. And he finally said it. And I just totally melted down and I just cried and I called my husband and I was like, he said mama, but no one believed me because he would not say it any other time. And it was just like two more months of me just being like, I know he said it, he said it, he said it, and no one believing me. I was very, very sad, but yeah, he was overdue. So I felt like he kind of owed me that mama, but I never got it. So eventually I did, but it was a couple more months of waiting and having everyone think that I was crazy for him saying mama when we were alone, of course.
Aww. What a stinker. Well,
or it was like your guy's special secret. It was,
yes,
you know.
Yep. That's a good way of looking at it.
Well, isn't that the thing to think about it?
Well, thank you again, Christy. This has been so much fun. Can you tell our listeners one more time, where is the best place for them to find you online?
Sure. It's launchladies.com. We also have a private Facebook group where bloggers can join and just talk more about sponsored posts and monetizing their blogs. Just look for Launch Ladies on Facebook. But I did want to say thank you guys so much for having me. It was such a blast, and I'm so honored to be here.
We really enjoyed it, too. Christy, are you launching a podcast in the near future?
I am really excited to announce that I am launching the podcast. It's going to start in August, August 4th to be exact. We're going to be talking a lot about sponsored posts, monetizing your blog. I'll have a lot of guests on that will be covering, you know, success secrets for sponsored posts, and then other insiders that actually people who are coming from the brand side or the agency side as well. So you'll get a unique look into how they operate and how they think about sponsored posts. So it's going to be everything about making money from your blog. I'm really excited. Kick it off.
That sounds great. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing resource for bloggers.
For the show notes, head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/98. Well, it's almost that time of year again. Back to school. And if you're anything like me, I feel a huge need to get more organized and be more productive once back to school hits. All of the kids' activities start up again. There's 5 different schedules going in 5 different directions, and I need a way to keep track of all of that that's going on, but I also need a way to keep track of all of our business plans, because back to school is a great time to start working on business ideas with a little bit more consistency maybe. It's a great time to start prepping for Etsy Christmas sales. So I feel the need from both my home life and my business pursuits to get organized and to keep track of everything all in one place. So this year, I have to say, I'm really glad I have my Brilliant Business Planner because I can keep track of our weekly schedule, my business to-do list, and my personal to-do list all in one place. But I can also make big goals and plans for my business in the same planner. I can map out places to guest post, map out new products that I might want to create before Christmas hits, create an editorial calendar for the podcast. So the planner for me is really filling that need of needing a way to be organized with the craziness of back to school. If you want to check out the Brilliant Business Planner and see all of the different pages that it includes, just head to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/planner. I hope you're having a great day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.